We're visiting with Dr. Rosalind Biggs, the Beef Cattle Extension Specialist and College of Veterinary Medical Director from OSU. You just gave a really awesome conversation here at Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association about the secure beef supply demand. Now, obviously, we're in the middle of a pandemic, and I don't think anyone's ever really understood how important it is to have a plan in place for when things like you were talking about foot and mouth disease break out. And we don't have that right now, but it's always a possibility.
Right, right. Well, and I think, you know, the Secure Beef Supply Plan focuses on foot and mouth disease. And here in Oklahoma, Dr. Hall, state veterinarian, and his team are working on a state-specific plan. And that will be based on, you know, the national plan that currently exists. But it'll have some Oklahoma specifics mm-hmm. to it. But I think as producers and individuals, we need to start thinking, if we haven't already, about our own biosecurity plans for diseases we have here currently in the U.S., as well as those foreign animal diseases like foot and mouth disease. We need to put those in writing, and we need to practice them. And we need to take a look at them every so often to make sure that they're continuing to evolve with our operation and with the environment that we're working in.
So, like you had mentioned, we have not had that here in a long time, but there's always a possibility of it. And if it happens, it's going to be devastating.
Absolutely. We haven't had foot and mouth disease in the U.S. since 1929, but undoubtedly, if we were to have an introduction into the U.S., regardless of where it is, whether it's in Oklahoma or another state halfway across the nation, it will be it'll be devastating. And there's some catastrophic things that can occur related to it. But I think as we continue this discussion with cattlemen that are here at convention, really leaders in the industry, to start to get prepared, now is the time, if you're not already there, to take a look at it and think about the implications and try to position yourself best to be able to continue with business should we have an introduction of a foreign animal disease.
What does a foot and mouth disease plan look like?
Well, so as far as the biosecurity plan, it really builds upon a farmer ranch's current biosecurity plan. And biosecurity is simply put how we're going to keep disease from our herd, from entering our herd. And there's a number of different measures that can go into that. And most farmers and ranchers already do those things. They take a look, they test animals before they do purchases. Mm-hmm. You know, their cleanliness and hygiene is always really at the forefront. And how they handle things like insects, mm-hmm. insect vectors, to make sure that we're not having those that can spread disease. But also how we deal with ourselves as far as that we're not taking disease from perhaps our neighbor's operation or our family's down the road operation back into our farmer ranch. And so it builds upon those initial practices that we should be doing each and every day. But for a secure beef supply plan, it elevates those. It enhances those more stringent, more strict, higher levels of practices to prevent foot and mouth disease from entering our farm.
Well, you'd mentioned that most producers are already doing aspects of this, but if you're not, what are some ways to get started and to really get those plans? Even if you are doing them, what are some other really good practices to put in place?
Absolutely. I think the first thing to do is take some time to put it down in writing mm-hmm. and visit with your veterinarian as far as those things that could potentially cause you to have disease enter your herd. And whether that be purchases or whether that be, you know, equipment movement from one operation to another, take a look at those step by step. Great resources at securebeef.org for secure beef supply plans, great checklists that are there. We've actually recently rewritten the biosecurity chapter for the OSU Beef Cattle Manual, and that's at beef.okstate.edu. That new manual will be out later this year, and so that's a good place to start as well. And then there's also some resources within the Beef Quality Assurance that really, if somebody doesn't have a plan, it's good to again, take that time, look at those resources, consider the points that we need to be taking a look at, and then put it into writing, and then visit with your veterinarian as far as have a new set of eyes take a look at that plan and make sure you're not you don't have any gaps in it.
Yeah. So where are we currently at for a secure beef supply demand in Oklahoma?
So in Oklahoma, we do have our officials at the Oklahoma Department of Agriculture, Food and Forestry. Dr. Hall, the state veterinarian, and his team are working to continue to refine Oklahoma's secure beef supply plan. And I think we will. It'll be interesting to take a look at that particular plan once they're ready to roll it out. They've told me that it will resemble those and be reflective of our industry here in Oklahoma, as well as our neighboring states and the region.
And you mentioned Kansas in your presentation. They seem to be a little bit further along, and we're kind of taking cues from them.
Kansas has their plan, and it's available for evaluation. You can take a read on their website of that plan, and they've really kind of jumped out ahead of many other states and put that together, and I think it allows us to use that as a template here in Oklahoma and figure out what segments of that will work for us. And they've done a really good job of starting to be prepared.
So what would you say some advantages are for producers that already have this plan in place? Like, they're ahead of the curve.
You know, I think the advantages for a producer having just even a general biosecurity plan, you know, and then have this, you know, have the enhanced plan that's your secure beef supply plan ready to go, is it's going to save you money in the long run, because you're not introducing disease into your herd. And whether that be infectious disease or even genetic diseases that we may catch early, because we've taken the time, we've taken the measures. You know, we're also saving things like medications. We're not injecting antibiotics or other medications because we've maintained biosecurity of our herd, and we've prevented those diseases from entering to begin with.
Well, who would have thought that this is what 2020 would look like, right?
That's right.
But I feel like one of the advantages, if you can even say that we have any right now, is this is really putting a microscope on how important things like what you're talking about are, because who would have thought we'd be in this situation like we are?
Absolutely. You know, the thing about the coronavirus that's really brought to general conversation is things like epidemiology, contact tracing, how diseases, in particular viruses, spread from one infected person or animal to another, and measures that we can take to, again, those are biosecurity measures in the animal health world, right? That measures that we can take to prevent the spread of disease.
And right now it's voluntary to do a secure beef plan in Oklahoma,
but
it really needs to be at the forefront of producers' minds right now.
You know, it's biosecurity, in my mind, should be right up front, because, again, at the end of the day, it's going to save money. But you're also ensuring the health of your herd as well as the state and national herd by practicing those biosecurity measures. And it's something that we need to... It takes some time.
It does.
And but I think it's time well spent. And if we can be prepared before we have an incursion of a foreign animal disease, it will be good time committed to that effort.
And you said it's important for it to be industry driven.
Absolutely.
So that everybody can get on the same page.
Well, and I think we have to think about, we have different producers. It's got to be you got to have an operation specific plan, meaning that my plan may not work for you.
Sure.
And so, but together, if we all have measures to prevent the disease from entering our operation, then that's the protection of the national herd. And as we look at the cattle industry here in Oklahoma, we've got high value commodities, and it's a significant economic driver, and we need to do what we can to protect that industry and those investments.
Well, you were presenting with the folks from U.S. Cattle Trace, and I found the ear tag conversation fascinating. So talk a little bit about the ear tags that you were mentioning, and that they're like leaning towards. Those are going to really be eye-opening for producers.
So Cattle Trace is a producer-driven effort, mm-hmm. and it's a nonprofit. And so they are looking at and have continued from their initial pilot, and they've continued to build upon that, of using ultra-high-frequency tags is mm-hmm. really kind of what they've landed on. And for the beef industry, it's really just what makes sense. It's going to be technology that is going to allow us that traceability and back to that disease traceability that we will need for both diseases we have in the U.S. as well as if we were to have a foreign animal disease incursion. It allows us that traceability really at the speed of commerce. Mm-hmm. It's not a pen and pencil, paper and pencil mm-hmm. type effort shuffling through. That's not going to work for us. We've got to be able to have real-time data and ultra-high-frequency tags, and the equipment and technology that go with them are going to allow us to do that.
And you mentioned producers are already having to use those tags for other things anyway, so this just is a natural fit.
Well, I think for many producers, depending upon how they manage their operations, it can really increase efficiencies in their everyday management. Time that they spent working cattle, mm-hmm. it can speed those things up, and they're getting that real-time data to be able to do things like, I'm going to scan the tag and instantly know what medications or what treatments this particular animal has had mm-hmm. and make some choices immediately without having to do second guessing.
So Secure Beef Plan, Cattle Trace really go hand in hand.
They absolutely do. You know, it's one of those things that we want to be prepared mm-hmm. for a disease incursion, and a segment of that is having the capability to do disease tracing should we have an incursion, but it's got to be at the speed of commerce. It's got to work with our industry and be industry driven.
Yeah, because I think one thing we've learned from COVID-19 is we need good information quickly.
Absolutely. That's what everybody's looking for. And these are efforts that will get us there.
Thank you, Dr. Biggs. We always enjoy talking to you.
Thank you, Casey. I appreciate the time.